I can't hear you. If you can hear me, I can't hear you.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Rawcast. My name's James Price, here to take you through the odyssey of the Brisbane Bus Company. Wait. Hang on, definitely bus company, because you wait around forever for a bloody long time, and all of a sudden, bloody four turn up at once. Yeah, anyway, you get what I mean. I am joined by my usual comrade in arms at the moment, Mr. Dave Stewart. How are we?
Good, mate, good. I'm glad all the people around here didn't butt in with your joke, because that's good podcast etiquette, just good to let you hang there with that joke.
Look, I spent a lot of time preparing that joke, and I'm glad you let it hang.
It got what it deserved.
Yeah, it did get what it deserved. And joining us in the rotating Ben spot, because he's not allowed on podcasting duties per directive by the FFA, for an incident that shall not be talked about, that happened in Malaysia? No, not Malaysia. Anyway, wherever that... Myanmar. Mr. Dan Butler, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, let's just be upfront. I didn't get to the game on the weekend. I was away at a wedding, so I don't know much what went on.
Hey, what was the wedding, Pricey?
Hot, dusty, dry, smoky, hot. Did I mention hot?
No, that's the
was
first
it,
time.
Was really it hot? Was it in that order? Because did you describe a wedding or our form on the weekend?
It's a bit of both.
Basically a timeline of the game.
I mean, it ends smoky, up hot. Dusty. That's the important thing, right?
It didn't start off hot.
No, it ends up hot. It's dusty and dry. And then
dusty, dry.
Hot at the end.
Very barren spell continuing, yes.
Pricey was at the game. He just didn't realise.
I didn't have a hailstorm trying to affect the game either. Although that did catch me up at the airport trying to get home. But anyway, that's a whole different story. So, fair to say, Dave, though, looking back on things, this was a game of two halves.
Certainly was, mate. It was a game of two halves.
Hang on, do you want me to run through the stats?
Yeah, look, you should run through the stats, because I'm lost at where we're
going. We've got 5 minutes to go through the bookings.
Yeah. So. Holy moly. Jeez, I only just looked at them. It was, of course,
fair
Brisbane
to say,
Roar.
Both clubs are getting a fine this week.
Excellent. Well, it's been a good week for the FA coffers then. It was Brisbane Roar 4, Roy the Boy O'Donovan with the hat-trick, first hat-trick for a couple of seasons for Brisbane Roar. In the 50th, 64th minute penalty and 83rd minute penalty, Aaron Amity Holloway in the 60th minute getting him.
Is it Amity or Amati?
Amati, Amity, I don't know.
According to Robbie Fowler, it's Aaron, Aaron.
Aaron, Aaron.
Go up there, Aaron.
Aaron Amity Holloway, I don't know.
Just on a side note, I did like when Robbie Fowler dropped F-bombs at the fourth official when the camera had gone to him and it actually just, they stopped the commentators just to hear what he was saying. Just like, F. It's like, good work, Fox.
It's great content. Great content.
No 10-second delay here.
Nope, live, straight to you, pumped straight to your houses. And it was Melbourne City 3. That man, we know him quite well. The man that scored our last hat-trick, actually, for our football club.
J-Mac was on fire.
6th minute. 29th minute in the 51st minute.
Daniel Bowles was terrified. James
fire. All our defence was terrified. Running around in circles trying to catch up with him. And we're probably lucky that he wasn't able to do a full 90. Because that's probably when the game really started changing our favour. Attendance 9,387 out there at a very packed Dolphin Stadium. So looked very
great
nice
attendance
on camera.
Yep, yeah. Fantastic attendance.
Not bad considering the weather.
Yeah, exactly.
Our team probably lost a few there.
Not bad considering the weather. It's a 10,000 capacity venue,
that's
right?
That's what I mean. We probably wouldn't have been far short of a whole
you
lot.
Lose? They would have lost 600 people.
Yeah. It was officially a sellout, so yeah, presumably. Yeah, we've just dipped out.
I presume, I'm going to round up to 600, but I'm presuming there's like 13 people that got kicked out or something like that. You know, it's just percentages.
Yeah.
But yeah, about 600 people or so would have been. Maybe just pushed back by their own, or just not sold, because they did say, tickets are selling out. They didn't say it was sold out.
I think I thought I saw a sold out tweet just before kickoff. But I think
those sold out tweets go, or those sold out kind of notifications go up when they're within a certain percentage. Yeah. It might be like 1%, so it might be 100 tickets left.
It's sort of weird. I mean, it's a bit weird. Like, you would probably, like, how are they counting members and obviously the different memberships and stuff? Like, were they accounting for maybe, you know, 20% of full members not turning up as well? Like, they have those stats. Like, they know how many turn up, like, on a regular basis. So.
Yeah.
It was great, and we can talk a little bit more about the...
Get on to the bookings.
The bookings...
This is the 10 minutes
we've been procrastinating the bookings.
You know, we have so much to talk about this game, and yet we're still procrastinating. Same old broadcast. Bookings, Jake McGinn in the 33rd minute.
That was half-time.
It was halftime. Wow. Roy O'Donovan in the 52nd minute, Craig Noon in the 56th minute, Rawson Griffiths in the 67th minute, Dylan Wenzel-Halls in the 75th minute. Notable because he hadn't even entered the field of play just yet. Dennis Girao in the 82nd minute, and Marcelo Cabrera in the 84th minute, Jay O'Shea in the 85th minute, Stephen Mork in the 88th minute, finally getting one for that shit haircut, and Scott Galloway in the 90th plus 4th minute. So what was that?
Take a break. That's 10 bookings. 10 bookings, 10 bookings, five aside.
So yeah, that was it. One booking and then all the rest were after both teams scored in the second half and kind of kicked the game off into a hackfest.
Yeah. All right, where do we start with all this?
Well, let's start before the match.
Before the match, because there was some news. Because we talked a lot last week about what does Robbie Fowler need to do to change things up.
And some of the changes were his decision.
Yeah.
And some were seemingly enforced on him. We'll touch on the one he decided.
Well, literally, there's two changes, but one of each.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Inman dropped to the bench, and Amadi Holloway replacing him, which I think a lot of people have been calling for up until now, because his performances off the bench have been quite good, and I think his performance here was quite good as well. So, a justified change. The O'Neill one, the Aidan O'Neill one, is interesting. And I'll touch on two things that interest me out of this. One, it's obviously the background stuff that came out afterwards where he was apparently not allowed to play because of selection situation with regards to the Olerus. He didn't actually go to the Olerus.
Yeah, I've got a little bit on this. So he pulled out because of personal reasons, which at the time, you assume it's a reasonable reason, and he couldn't travel. And so that's why he didn't go, but then they said, well, you can't then turn around and play. So it's not really the same situation as the four other guys that you're going to get onto.
Well, we'll mention that during the news a bit more because there's a bit more information around those four. But that seemed...
It's odd.
Seemed a bit odd you don't want to go to this, so you can't play here. It's like, well, you're kind of damned if you do.
It all comes down to what the reason was. I can understand the thing. Like, if you've been called up for a national team and you reject it, you don't want to end up in that situation where players can just reject national team call-ups to play in their local team. So you don't want that whole dynamic to play out because that's bad for football overall, especially international football. So I can understand that reasoning, but then
around the world and that's just normal, especially in a lot of the busy leagues.
Costa rejected a call-up for the NZ side so he could play.
I feel like that was organised beforehand, though. He wasn't at least announced and then...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, that was organised and, he's with baby.
So was O'Neill actually announced?
I think he was.
I was thinking Costa just had a baby. Yeah.
So, I think Costa had, pre-talked through them, hey, I've just had a baby, don't want to... Please don't call me up, need to be there for family. And obviously it was a home game, which helped, so... Yeah, but where O'Neill called up, then rejecting it as such, I think that is a different scenario. But then, we'll get on to the other guys later. At least there's something to talk about the second half of the show.
Yeah, well, I was going to mention the replacement to O'Neill, Jacob Pepper. And you won't hear me say this too often, but he wasn't bad.
Was it because he wasn't in defense, perhaps, Dave?
No, I've seen him play midfield beforehand. He's been bad there too.
Yeah.
So, I think we've said his better position is defense. But he wasn't bad.
Was he playing that real screening midfielder role?
Yeah.
So maybe, and that's not something, I mean, that's sort
kind of like a defender, but just a little bit ahead of the defenders, right?
An insurance policy.
But maybe as well, in terms of how that system should operate, you get your fullbacks pushing on a bit more, which I think we had a bit more with about us. And that screening defender or screening midfielder is meant to drop in to help the back four. And I think that might have happened a little bit more because Pepper's maybe used to doing that a little bit more.
Second half was very much like that. The wide players. Oh, the first half, no. Robbie made the changes.
Well, as I said before, it was a game of two halves. The first half was definitely not like that. It was second half a lot better.
We almost played four up front in the second half. That's how far up. Because Robbie made the changes, brought on the fresh guys on the wings. He basically wanted more. That's why he changed both wing backs.
Yeah.
And they were really far forward in that second half.
And that to me, that's the big standout point to me is obviously we scored goals against us this week. We were 2-0 down within 25 minutes or whatever it was, 29 minutes.
We had to make a change.
When we had to make a change because you had to do something. So I think previous weeks, maybe he was in that indecision of,
Do I need to change it?
I mean, it's sort of not, you can probably feel it's quite not working for you. But we're not down, we're not behind.
Yeah.
Whereas this week, bang, bang, we're down. All right, I've got to chase this game. I've got to change it. You know, so yeah, he stuck fat with a bunch of players again. But as soon as it hit the hay, bang, actually, no, and he showed some guts and he made the changes. And in the end, it's worked for him, and that's great. So hopefully that maybe gives him the confidence to actually back himself in, and hopefully we don't have to go down all the time before he actually makes those changes. Yeah.
Well, hopefully this gives him an insight in terms of how the team's actually going to be able to work structurally the best way that he wants to play football. So, okay, we know we want those wing backs that are going to be pushing on, and Jai Ingham was kind of in that space, which is not the way I would have put him necessarily, but it seemed to do a job. And
Where would you put him, Dave, if you had your choice and he had to play?
Well, about C, you see what, you get the longest pier, right? You add 20 metres to it, and then you ask him to play that far off.
And then keep pushing out wide.
Yeah.
I'll play with 10 and leave one spot open.
Here's the thing. My preconceptions of players that I thought were shit are blown out of the water in this game because Pepper did all right and Gingham did all right.
So Gingham was the game changer, mate.
He did set up a goal.
I don't know what to think about this game. It's just, I don't know.
And Roy scored.
and Roy scored.
Yeah, fair enough.
Wake my kid and die. Okay, Jamie, thank you. Love you.
it's our kid. You know, you're both in that. Anyway.
the fact you said that made it worse, man. Just for the record, I'm pretty sure I'm the father. Okay. Yes, if he's anything by my dancing, I am definitely the father. Okay.
At least we still know McGing's shit.
Well, yeah, we know his shit still. So, yeah, one out of three ain't bad, right?
Wait, does that mean Gingham's going to start next week ahead of McGing?
Probably.
Well, that'd be an interesting thing, right? Like, do you go with the second half that was clearly working and you keep that same momentum going?
Surely you have to.
Well, but no, Gingham didn't come on for McGing.
Yeah, he did.
Came on for
Bowles. Came on in that spot. So what they did was they swapped Neville from left wing back to right wing back.
The first time was McGing for Courtney Perkins.
Yeah, so they put, when McGing went off, they swapped Neville over, put Courtney Perkins on the left, right?
All right.
And then, so when Gingham came on later, they took off Bowles, pulled Neville back into the back line and opened up the right wing back space.
Okay, yeah.
So if they were going to repeat it, we'd be back to the same back three from round one with Neville, Aldred, Gillespie. Macaulay Gillespie, yeah.
Yep.
So,
which would appear to be his preferred back three, I think.
Well, yeah, I'd say so as well. And it seems to be that they probably work the best. That's how they kind of planned them out in preseason as well. So I'd say that's probably the most logical. Bowles, realistically, would be the fill-in.
Yeah.
And
I got to say, Neville is growing on me a lot more than I thought. I was like, A, we're playing him as a centre-back. That's out of position. But and he did sort of let one weak thing go in the cup game, cost us a goal or two, and I was like, no, this isn't working, but he's done that job well for 3 weeks, and then he went out wide, and I thought he was pretty good last week, not the game just gone, one before, and slotted into the back line again this week and was pretty solid, even against some pretty good attackers, so that Noone. So I
think it's not no one.
He was no one this game. He didn't score.
He had a couple of awful chances as well.
Yeah,
do you want to talk through a couple of goals?
Let's have a chat about the goals. Because let's face it, the first two goals of the game... Well, the first goal of the game... I'll just quickly start on this, because it basically came down to just purely us being under the pump for the first 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Brisbane, I don't think we got out of our half in that before they scored their goal.
It was about 11 shots to nil or something before we had our first shot, even shot a goal, not even a shot on target.
They were just smashing it at the start. It just seemed like, oh, here we go again. Especially when they scored early, it's like, well, this could be the floodgates, you know. But the wrong way, we weren't expecting the floodgates to be. You know, it's pretty tight at the back for most of the season so far.
Yeah,
we were hoping, you know, not to do that, but to one consider goal super early like that.
It's no secret to anyone, but how good is J-Mac looking? Like, he did his year in a couple of years overseas, and now he's come back, and he's so much more dominant.
He is a sharper.
In the air, on the ground, getting in between players.
If he wasn't... Yeah, I'm going to come on. I'll mention this now, because this is my favourite. There was a comment. I'm not going to make comments to who it was, because I'm sure anyone that's seen it on Facebook has probably seen it. But there was a comment suggesting that J-Mac had deliberately faked injury so he could just and not play for the national team so he could come back to Brisbane and play against Brisbane and score goals against us. And
Missed 2 weeks of playing? No.
Given he missed two full A-League games, are you seriously that? Like, he had one of the best rapports with Brisbane fans throughout his time here and after. He left with no ill will. Why would he be so like, oh, and he didn't celebrate? If he was that cut up about it, he would have celebrated every goal, like, up yours, boys. But no, he was
Clearly, all he ever wanted was to play at Dolphin Stadium. He wasn't going to give up this chance.
He missed that chance. We played the FFA Cup game there, and he couldn't play there because he'd already gone.
Yeah,
it was.
He was like, he was missing the magic, the Dolphins' magic.
So let's talk about these couple of goals there, because obviously, our defense, they're under the pump, but then they really had a couple of a nightmare.
Well, that first one, well, I said we're under the pump, but that first one was a nice little diagonal ball over the top of everyone. So it wasn't like we were all set back in our 18-yard box. They created a bit of space in behind, and J-Mac was just too good. Came in behind there, tapped around Crocombe and put it away, and away they went.
That shocked us, I think.
I think it did.
Just looking 6 minutes, I don't think we were even in the game at that point.
Aldridge was trying to cut out the interception in front of J-Mac, but he was plenty of distance away from J-Mac, so when the ball dropped in, he had no chances on the deck. Gillespie was left trailing. He wasn't tracking him back, and that was realistically his man.
McGing had been turned inside out for the cross out wide. It was sort of, and Bowles was, I mean, he was cut out by the cross, you know.
Bowles was on McGing's side of the three-man back line, so he was out of position for it, but there wasn't anything he could do. Gillespie was ultimately the one that should have been tracking him. But J-Mac's been so good this season. He's golden boot for a reason at the moment, right?
Yeah.
He's been so good. You've got to expect he's going to get that space, but to give him that much space that early and let them get on top of us that early,
I mean, it's dangerous. Behind three centre-backs, that's the hard part. Like, even if you can't keep up with him, you should find a way to squash
and
that.
And it wasn't like there was other people they needed to be tracking either. There was only one of them. You know, he's only the guy on the top of the goal-scoring charts, and we didn't track him.
That's right.
Yeah. The second one
was a cross from Brillant.
I think so. Yeah, he went down into the corner, right down the and corner. Him and Aldred tackled outside the box.
And then Aldred took note for later on, because that was about the same place he took his shot. We'll come back to that later.
But and Brillante got it and turned around, and Aldred was really tardy to get back up and get close and gave him a couple of metres. And
to be fair, Brillante's turning circle there was fucking 5 cent piece style. He was quickly facing the other way.
But the bigger problem, and the cross was good. The bigger problem, though, was Bowles flat-footed.
Mannequin.
J-Mac came across in front of him like a good striker and had no resistance.
Absolute mannequin stuff. He wasn't paying attention.
And you could maybe lay some blame on Crocombe as well for not probably going out to try and claim the cross, which...
But that might fit into Ben's conspiracy theory, so I'm going to say Crocombe had no chance.
I agree with Pricey there, because I think
it actually might have been your point, Dan.
Because he crossed it from the line, and where's your keeper going to go? You can stay stationary, or you can move. Like, the ball's not going to get in behind you.
I suppose it depends how much, like, you know, where the defensive line is at the time, because at the same time, you obviously want to dominate your area, but he sees that ball moving away from him. Maybe he's thinking, it's going to be harder to get to a ball moving away from me than moving towards me. My defenders are close, like, it's coming towards my defenders first. I'll trust my defenders.
And it does all outside.
He hasn't played for Brisbane long, has he?
not with balls in front of him. Yeah. No, but in theory, I'll trust my defenders to get to this, and I'll cover the angles depending on whatever happens. But the defenders didn't get to it, and the angles couldn't be covered because there was too many options for McLaren to put it in with, and he did.
Yeah, he was too close to miss that.
Yeah, exactly. It was it was a great glancing header by J-Mac.
It was good.
The bus was said a bit after that. Crocombe did actually make a save.
Yeah.
I can guarantee he has made one good save this year. Yeah, you died later. He's right. He made a save.
Up to Pricey over here.
Yep, he has made a save. That's just for you, Ben. He has made a save. Never mind, he conceded 3 in 60 minutes.
He made a save.
He did actually officially make other saves in the rest of the game.
Hey,
but they were literally kicked straight.
Their keeper conceded 4.
He did.
Right,
he did.
And that 4, therefore we win. Yeah. So Crocombe's fine.
Yeah, Crocombe's fine because our attack
is better than his shitness.
Yeah.
I mean, the one good thing with J-Mac scoring in the 6th minute was that Crocombe didn't have to time waste 20 minutes into the game. So that was a positive from our keeper this game.
That was actually an internal plan to get Crocombe's mind into the game.
Yeah.
Robbie Fowler's like, right, back line, we need you guys to be shit for the first 5-6 minutes. And then once we've considered a goal, it'll switch Crocombe on. He'll be fine.
I'll take that McGing off, and then we'll be it's all part of the plan.
McGing didn't know it was part of the plan. He's like,
that's such a cutting
sacrificial lamb, McGing.
That is the most cutting thing you can do to a player is take him off in the first half.
But his sub came straight after he got booked. It was he got booked, and then the sub happened at that interval of play.
It's like it had already been planned to be subbed, and so he gets a booking for good measure.
It makes you wonder if that's
a
pre-game conversation where Fowler said to him, like, you're on your last go here, you got to show me something.
Fowler said, we're going to do this, and McGee's like, oh, You're going to Tony Popovich me. It's like, what? Yeah, yeah, when Popovich got taken off in the World Cup qualifier against Uruguay 15 fucking years ago, or 14 years ago. And Fowler's like, what?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. Who?
Who's the Harry Kewell? Who's coming on? What?
Oh, God. Jingham is our Harry Kewell.
No.
The Brisbane Harry Kewell.
No. Courtney Perkins is our Harry Kewell.
That's more acceptable.
Never mind the fact he's a defender.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a 17-year-old defender, sorry.
Yeah.
Built like a shit brick house, though.
Mm.
So this, and I tweeted this, and I'd stand by it. You could put him and Aldred in front of the goals and just let nine players attack. You don't even need a goalkeeper. Just let, we'll have the goal, we'll have him up front.
Could you imagine if we took Scott Neville out and we went Courtney Perkins and McGing alongside Aldred, Gillespie and Bowles? How tall is that for a back five? Like, seriously.
Well, Bowles isn't huge.
Is I guess because he's Neville? Lanky.
Yeah, he's lanky. Tall. Yeah.
I don't know. But that's still a pretty big, like, McGing's pretty tall for one
put side. Put a Marty Holloway's head in there. Yeah. His forehead alone would do the job.
Yeah.
The Crocombe's not short. That's a pretty big team.
Yeah, it's a big beefy bunch.
Considering we've been short for so many years.
Yeah, true. We're a long way from our midfield of Mackay and
Madoka. Joe Coletti.
Yeah, Joe Coletti, Mackay,
If only Mackay, Madoka and Joe Coletti all played in the same midfield one game. Madoka already gone by that stage. Yeah. But imagine.
Just imagine.
Average height of 5'1".
Yeah. We probably played Enrique in midfield with like Mackay and Madoka at some stage.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that brought us up to half time.
It did, where we made our second sub of the game, as we already talked about, bowls off for Gingham as we went for it.
The worst, as I was saying, goes, it was a game of two halves, and this is the second of those.
It is the second half. It is the second half of two halves, because it was a game of two halves.
It was a game of two halves.
A game of two halves. I heard it was a game of two halves.
I mean, to be fair, we showed a little bit of life by looks of things just before the first half time. It was the first half.
Oh, dear.
It's been a long couple of days. Second half. Stuff happens. Dave.
Yes.
We actually scored a goal.
We did.
Did we deserve to score a goal? Oh, actually, there's a big point we haven't talked about from the first half. A certain non-penalty call.
Oh, yes, that's right. I didn't even write them off for
you. No, the non-penalty call.
Oh, I did. I listed penalties, whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Delbridge sliding in on Roy Donovan in about the 13th, 14th minute.
Mm.
Quickly around the table.
I'm going to let you two fight it out because I know you guys have conflicting opinions.
Was it a penalty?
Get off the fence, Adam. No.
No pen?
No pen.
You suck. You're off the pod.
And I hate Delbridge, so you know that I'm convicted in my opinion.
Was it a pen, Pricey?
I'm inclined to agree with John Cosmina that Roy Donovan went looking for the contact.
See, and here's where I'm the one beacon of hope. I think it was a pen, and I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't matter if he was looking for the contact. All good strikers will look for the contact to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
He still had these legs taken out for him before he got to the ball. And ultimately, you could put that whole situation halfway on halfway, and the free kick's going to go to the player that was defending.
I agree with you, but a halfway free kick and a penalty are seen as different things.
But they're
because
not.
They're a bigger... But a lot of the laws they are, but it's not now. It happens in the normal game, though.
But it's not different. It is
different. Everything's different.
But if you're going to give hand, if you're going to give
VAR can't look at that first one, but VAR can look at the second one, so they are different.
Well, they're different in the sense that they can have an impact on the game.
By the way, I'm not encouraging VAR there, just pointing out that they're right.
But the actual action is still a foul, regardless.
Mm.
So it was a free, it was a penalty, and you're off the pod. This is just a one man show now.
How long am I going to take my recording equipment and go home, Dave? You can go talk to yourself.
I'll just create a whole bunch of 59-second anchor records and put the show together on my own.
I mean, we got plenty of good, bad, and uglies. You could probably make a show just reading other people's... That's like having a co-host.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to read out everyone's opinions, and I'm going to speak about them in fine detail.
Isn't it about episode two? Isn't it about first episode of season two, pretty much just Adam talking to himself as an episode?
Yep. Oh, not season two. It was a little bit further down the track. But it was like... It was not a good show. So, and that was the point. That was when I'd retired from the pod.
Yeah.
And then I came back up and said, Adam, I'm coming back to the show. This is not good.
You cannot talk to yourself.
Let's get back to... That was the penalty shout. And I think that was a penalty. You guys said that you don't think so, but you're wrong. Second half.
This is why I go to VAR and almost like that.
Second half. Roy Donovan scores goal. Happy days are here again. We're finally...
How many minutes was it in the end?
Well, let's see. It was 270 plus 50, so 320 minutes. Oof. 320 minutes since our previous goal. And then And then 10.
and then 4 in 23 minutes.
4 in 33 minutes. 4 in 33 minutes, yeah. So,
like I said, Brisbane Bus Company.
Brisbane Bus Company. Robbie Fowler's Bus Company.
Well, it's better than barking the bus like in previous weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's just where you put the bus in. Yeah. You know, first off, to try to put it in front of that end, and they just left the bus down there for the second half. It was good little goal. Tapped around, obviously, the keeper, and a little bit of redemption for Adonald, because you can see the way he celebrated. He felt like, yeah, finally, I've had a bit of a win here.
And you know, the contact on putting it past the keeper was not, like, crisp. He got just enough on it. Mm. And I think that's one of those, when a striker's a little bit out of form, touches like that struggle, but if you're good enough, you eventually make one work.
Yeah.
It seemed like more the sort of ball that he likes, like a little dink over the top, and he gets to run onto it with a bit of pace. And yeah, like that just seems more O'Donovan style than
instead of whipping crosses in.
Yeah, whipping crosses in. Yeah.
And that was O'Shea who just threw it up into the wind a little bit because they had the breeze, I think.
Well, it was behind us the second half.
So yeah, so he just sort of threw it up and it got a bit more whip on it and got him behind the defense.
Yeah, exactly right. It's just not too dissimilar to J-Mac's first goal, really.
Yeah, exactly.
But
Roy O'Donovan is the Brisbane J-Mac.
It always happened. I mean,
J-Mac's the Brisbane J-Mac.
J-Mac scored five minutes after the half-time. J-Mac scored 6 minutes after the start of the game. So they are almost.
J-Mac scored 6 minutes into the second half as well.
We'll get into that.
We've got
other things to talk about first.
Okay.
I know we don't.
No, we don't.
it literally...
You ruined it. It was literally perfect. Happened.
You had it perfectly set up and I actually ruined it.
All right. Cart, start the show again, all from the beginning.
Oh, man.
Pricey, start with your bad joke.
Yep.
Game of Two Halves.
Come on, it's like your sixth go. You should get the bus joke right.
Look, I'm just going to keep driving this bus back over until someone laughs at it, all right?
Anyway, that you're right though. 6 minutes into the second half, as he did in the first half, J-Mac scored this time with a header. As Melbourne City basically just took the ball from kickoff, went down the right wing, and then whipped one in, and we were asleep.
Yep, we were. We literally scored a goal. We didn't know what to do. We celebrated too hard, and we copped it.
Well, don't forget, we didn't have to. We didn't know what to do after Perth because we didn't have any time to do anything with. So
the game literally ended.
The game literally ended straight after that. So this is the first time I've had to defend the ball after we've scored a goal. Like.
I mean, literally the mini-match. The mini-match didn't take a break. It showed O'Donovan scoring, him celebrating, to the kickoff, to then scoring. That was a legitimate cut. Like, that's just poor form to get a goal, get back into it, and to concede immediately straight away. It shows the switching off. And
the positive is, if they were going to score enough, if obviously we were going to score an early goal in that second half, we weren't coming back from 3-0 down. Yeah. But the fact we had one... And yeah, we considered straight away. The fact we had one meant, okay, we're still only a 2-goal buffer. We're still 6 minutes into the second half. It's not really any different to half time. It's just,
And at least we had the confidence we'd actually scored a goal and gotten that monkey off our back. So yeah, I get what you mean.
That's it.
3-0 is different to,
little bit of confidence through the team that, we can still score goals. We're not completely shy. And hey, look, there's some people here that still celebrating the fact we scored a goal despite just conceding.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was someone there that went to take a piss after they scored. But yeah, great.
From what I heard, the toilet lines, they definitely were still waiting in a line to go to a toilet. So, you know, they probably did see the goal.
Well, some of them might have gone out through the fences or gone behind the thing. You don't know.
This is true.
There was that little gap in that fence.
There was.
So in response to both teams scoring a goal, both teams decided the best way to approach this was to pick up 9 yellow cards in like 40 minutes of the game.
But Roy Donovan was so pissed that his goal, like cut the lead into half, was basically counted against. He just went and cut someone down straight away.
Is that where he got the yellow card?
I have no idea.
They were clearing and he was a bit ambitious in trying to stop them from clearing. He had his striker brain on.
Right.
As Cozzy said in the telecast, sometimes you got to let the defender know you're there a little bit closer to the ball than that.
It's not like O'Donovan has prize in this area either.
No, he's the cleanest player in the A-League's history.
Yeah,
exactly. He's never heard anyone.
He had like two suspensions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one was for headbutting, one was for kicking someone in the head. Yeah, it's fine. Whatever.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Exactly. It did kick off.
Actually, that's the one thing I'm worried about. He's had one notable moment for each club that he's played for.
When's
our turn?
I keep thinking that too, but not there yet. He's scored a hat-trick.
He's matured now.
Wait till he plays against Newcastle. Oh, I'll be on.
Well, they can play against Newcastle if they stop having all these buyers.
Yes.
And we'll come to that later.
We did score a second and we got our first different goal scorer of the season on the books. So far, it was 2-for-2 for Donovan. And Aaron Marty Holloway.
Yeah, great goal for him.
Great goal. About 37 minutes out.
What was it? Hang on, let me just... We'll recap. No,
to be honest, there was a really good
one. It was a similar sort of cross from the central spot as Shea put the first one in for O'Donovan. Yeah. But this time it was back post for Gingham.
Yeah.
And Gingham, instead of... To his credit, didn't just try to power a shot from a stupid angle with his head. He put it back across goal into a really dangerous corridor. And it was there for Mork and Omari Holloway to tap in. I think the only reason Mork didn't score was because Marty Holloway's boot busy Roy O'Donovan Mork.
I like to think of Mork as the body shield to stop the defenders from getting in to stop Marty Holloway.
I think there was a defender in there as
he
well.
He was the screen.
Yeah.
So technically Mork got the assist and Gingham's like cut out of it.
I want to talk about O'Shea there though, so he doesn't get, like, we know he's good, but this was a perfect game and we've been saying he's not like a super mega star in terms of marquees, but he does all the little things just a little bit better than everyone, and this second one was really good.
He's got a bit of skill on flair as well when he does try to beat a player.
He has actually been the, and as pointed out to me after last week's podcast, that he's actually been the leading chance creator in the league so far. So yeah, I mean, he is clearly our leading outlet in creating chances.
And this goal was a prime example because he turns and he makes that meter of space that we see it happen a lot in the A-League, but then players try and beat their man two or three times and he doesn't. He just goes, made my space. He takes one look up. He sees the man. He plays the cross to the player, not just throwing it into the box blindly, which is another sort of A-League issue at the moment. And picks out a player, which just happens to be our overlapping runner. And then we look like we're good. So we get in a goal. I think it's just a little bit better than most players in the A-League. It's that slight extra skill that he's got.
Je ne sais quoi.
And you need that. I mean, and like that's what I keep talking about. We have that quality. And maybe I have underrated him a little bit, and he is providing enough quality. And we'll just see how he keeps
I was always on the O'Shea bandwagon. I'm all on for that.
I like him.
I was thinking he just wasn't as, you know, as good as maybe some others. But maybe he's good enough this league. And he's certainly showing it so far. So at the moment, he's proving you two right.
Well, we obviously, a lot of people said, oh, you can't win anything with League 2 football. It's like, you probably won't. And I'm not saying we're going to win everything here.
No, we're going to win the league, Dave. We won one game out of six. We're going to win the league, mate.
I mean, do you see many other teams scoring four goals in one match?
It's all upward trajectory from here, right? And yes, Sydney did it.
Yeah, so that's the final right there. Brisbane-Sydney.
Sydney managed to keep the other team from scoring as well.
No, they scored one.
Oh, they scored
one. Sydney, so there's eight goals in that game, seven in ours. Oh, we got to try harder next time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, but the fact that, although he was a League 2 player, I think he was Player of the Year in League 2, right?
Yeah.
He's the best player in that league. So, theoretically, he'd be a good to very good League 1 player still as well. And that sort of player is the sort of player that can do things in our league. Let's not mix it up. Our league is, if we're going to make these stupid comparisons, we're level of bottom of championship, like very bottom of championship to top half of League 1 sort of level. So, you know, if he can cut it in a mid to good League 1 side, which you would imagine he would, you know, he'd be able to cut it in the A-League, and he's clearly doing that at the moment.
So, moving on, obviously the other two goals were both penalties.
Mm.
So let's just sort of talk through them.
Well, it should be noted, just before Marty Holloway scored, J-Mac subbed off.
J-Mac, so was he subbed off before or after?
Yeah, it was about 60 minutes.
It was 60, yeah, so around that moment.
So,
and to be fair, that's...
That's where the game changed, right? Yeah. That's... You know, City realistically could have parked the bus, like just passed the ball around, let us kind of struggle. J-Mac came off, they had no outlet.
And they were struggling, going into the breeze as well, you know, those sorts of things. And I know some people don't mind playing into the breeze, but it's pretty strong up there at Redcliffe when it sort of whips in. Like, I've been up there for W League games, and like it whips through the place. Yeah. So, so that can make a big thing when it feels like you're just constantly working against, like, it's almost like you're working uphill. Like, you're just working into the breeze to be able to push out, and it can make it, if you're feeling like you're pinned back, also, and then you don't have that great outlet that's making us more conscious going back the other way as well.
J-Mac was the only one to score a goal at that end of the park, right? And I got a feeling that when they took him off, previous couple of weeks where they've actually scored goals with him not even in the side, they've kind of set up, you know, with that in mind. This week, he's been their focal point. They've taken their focal point off, and they're still trying to play towards a focal point, but the focal point's not there, or not as good as
which is how they didn't work. They didn't work in the Melbourne Derby because Lachlan Wales was that focal point. Like, J-Mac had been in the FFA Cup, and it didn't work.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you've now got that way you're playing isn't quite working the same way, and that's where City's kind of tailed off. And Brisbane's been able to make those changes at half time. We're starting to see those take effect in the second half.
Yeah.
And without City really providing the extra push going forward, We've had a lot more freedom to do what we want as we go forward, and that's created the opportunities that we've had here and the two penalties that have ultimately resulted as well.
Yeah, exactly.
How's that for analysis? Suck on that.
Oh, mic drop, apparently. Oh, well, we don't need to talk about the penalties then. We'll just move on. No. We will very quickly just probably talk about the... So the first one was probably... the kick to the thigh, that one was pretty clear. I think that's, you know,
Rustin Griffiths carved him up.
Always kicked him in the thigh. That one's pretty clear. Don't need to talk too much about that one. The handball one, though, is interesting because it comes down to probably the new rule and the interpretation of that one, Dan, around the sort of protecting, you know, the unnatural arm position. So I don't know where you fell on sort of that one.
Yeah, I think the rule is when you raise your arm, if it's raised in an unnatural position or just raised in general, that's instant call. So per the rules, I think it's the right call, but I don't know if the rule really fits that situation. I think if you look at it from the point of what happens if his hand's not there, well, it hits him in the face and it's not a goal anyway. He didn't really use his hand to gain any advantage or stop a goal or anything like that. Well, so I feel like it's a bit harsh. I think it's the right call.
Well, but you say he didn't stop a goal. First of all, it was a shot, right? Stopped the ball. Like, he was actually taking a shot. And the player had the opportunity to move himself in a different direction, whatever. The arm was moved into that space reactively. Yeah, I get that. But he also, you know, you can also kind of duck. You can also move. There are other ways you can react or move your body as well.
How do you weigh in if...
I don't know.
It looks like the shot was probably high anyway. Like, does that factor?
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think it matters. Especially since it was at the top of the box, right, that he took the shot from. So there's no... You don't know whether or not it's going to go high. You don't know if it's going to... You know, he's put spin on it and it's going to whip off one side, or if it's going to take another deflection off someone's elbow and go in the goal. You just don't know.
Yep.
So it's not something that you can really kind of assume the ball's missing.
Yep.
We don't have Hawkeye technology like the cricket does. Yeah, too much variance at that sort of distance anyway. So it's
look, it's absolutely there under the current rules. I do agree with you. There's a touch harsh that I think it would have hit him in the head. But I think even maybe under old rules, it probably would have been paid as well. Like, in the end, the first contact with his body has been a forearm really stopping a ball in its tracks. So.
There was one person, I think it actually might have been Ben, that suggested, oh, well, would you stop a person from covering up their balls if they're, you know, in the wall? Mm. It's like, well, no, because, and this is me going back to when I was refereeing 15 years ago, right?
Yeah.
There was a general consensus that you can protect genitalia. Right. Yeah. So women can have an arm across their breast, and men generally can have their hands over their groin, and that's fine. Because that's a pre sort of set up way. You're not doing it to advantage yourself, you're doing it to protect yourself. That's fine. In this case, the arm is definitely, unless, you know, was it Gianni?
Yeah, Gianni.
So unless he's calling him a dickhead, he's not protecting his genitals.
Yeah, you just want to get that in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned Hawkeye before, because I just noticed we kind of skipped past one thing before this point where we could have done with some extra cameras specifically in the goal box. Yeah. You can go then, Pricey.
I was just going past. Moreau Donovan obviously tucked away the penalties with great aplomb straight down the guts for both of them. So hopefully he doesn't do that third time. I reckon a keeper might pick up on that one. And, but anyway, we'll see. Yes, just and probably the one thing that happened in between. Did it happen in between the two penalty shouts? Was,
it did.
Yeah,
it was 3-3 when this.
Yeah, 3-3 when this one, and obviously it could have been the deciding factor. And what a season for the A League to invest in Hawkeye technology for line ball offside calls, but not for goal line technology, as we had our own Robbie Slater.
I don't think we've actually had this many line ball calls in a season, let alone the first six rounds.
Peak A-League, mate. It's peak A-League. It's honestly
one every two rounds, and we wouldn't have had this many in.
I feel like this hasn't been this many in past seasons. Haven't had this many line ball.
This is insane.
Yeah. So
although to be fair, two of them are probably entirely caused by Lopar being sitting behind the goal line half the time. Yeah. At least this one here was a shot that legitimately wouldn't have crossed. Like, I don't think it crossed the line. I think we're fine with that.
Yeah.
Although, you know, if you wanted to play the Sydney FC, how to assess whether the ball's gone off the line, just take a photo of it while it was in midair. You can certainly see grass underneath it. It's definitely gone over.
Definitely over. We'll get Robbie Slater out there and doing his best impressions. But, I mean,
not a goal.
It was great. Yeah, I think it bounced along the line. But yeah, what a season for A, not investing in goal line technology, and B, for Fox Sports to cost cut and get rid of the cameras that used to sit up in the back corner of the nets as well. That would have probably helped some of these calls a little bit. But anyway, it's yeah, that was a great moment. And, you know, that's probably where the wind starts to play a bit of havoc, and you can get those sorts of things happening if, you know, yeah, I'm going to recall back to a very sad moment in the history of this football club, but when we lost the streak of 36 down at Cogra that day, and Brett Emmett's in school from the corner because
I remember that.
That's harsh.
That was a rough day.
It was a rough day. Anyway, fuck you, Sydney.
Still, we got the record, Sydney out shit.
Yeah, exactly. And they never got that same record.
No.
They
can suck on that one too.
They can suck on that one.
I'm so channeling my inner Sam Kerr with all this. There's anything I don't like, suck on that one.
This yellow card for Cabrera in the 84th minute. He got that before taking the kickoff after a penalty, because he stood on halfway arguing with the ref about the penalty handball. And the ref's like, come on, play. You've only got 5 minutes left. And he's just like mouthing. And the ref's like, I'm going to have to book you for time wasting, and you're losing. And eventually he just went over and did him, and yeah, that was fine.
Anyway, it was an
amazing that was around about that point. I was too busy celebrating, and I had a child going psycho all over the place here as well. So I didn't see that one, but I'm glad you spotted that, because that's awesome.
It's pretty funny. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was Luna, but it must have been Cabrera, one of the imports. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a classic A-League and classic imports. So after all that,
well, hang on. First of all, Dolphin Stadium.
Yeah,
Pricey, what's your review on Dolphin Stadium?
It says you've got lots to add on the run sheet.
It says you've got a review.
Yes, a Dolphin Stadium is a stadium that's been built by the rugby league team, Redcliffe Dolphins. It was built in 2012 with some funding by the Moreton Bay. No, as mentioned, apparently Dave forgot that I wasn't there. So all three of us didn't actually make it.
I just thought you're a Dolphin Stadium connoisseur and you just have sort of a review for me, but that's okay.
I mean, it sounds like, the Green Dinosaur that was on last week, Yeshiva, he was out there and he did send me, and it sounds like they had similar problems to what we had in the FA Cup, where the food lines are really slow. You know, so from that sort of point of view, and toilet lines, and sort of they're in sort of the corners, and it sort of everything sort of gets it. Just honestly, I don't think they actually have the capacity, like food wise, to deal with 10,000 people. But everyone else that seemed to be out there seemed to think it was a great atmosphere, and you know, the sidelines got into it a lot with the a bit of clap 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 Brisbane, and that sounded great and got them pumped up, and good to have obviously the screenshots look great when you compare 10,000 people at Suncorp Stadium to 10,000 people at Redcliffe. Redcliffe looks like this pumping little full venue, and Suncorp Stadium, well, it's an empty monstrosity.
It just reinforces to everyone that you absolutely need a venue of that size, or 15,000 people in Brisbane, or
yeah,
20,000 people see a stadium in Brisbane, not in Redcliffe, not in Logan, where they train, not out of Ipswich. I mean, I'm sure they could all use that sort of things for their own A-League bids, but you need one in Brisbane. And you know, the old favourite's been bandied about, redevelop Perry Park, or knock down Ballymore, although it's not ours. Or, you know, the one I actually really like is to, you know, build it in that old industrial area at West End, just where the Milk Paul's factory is.
Yeah.
That's a nice little spot, so I think they're having to knock that stuff down anyway before it becomes apartments. I think that would be a prime spot for that. Still
someone
central.
Still needs to convince Paul's to move out of there. Palmerlat, sorry.
We can call it Palmerlat.
They need to be bought out.
We'll call it Palmerlat Stadium, and then they can just
We'll get the Palmer family in. That went well for the Palmer club in Italy, didn't it?
Yeah, nothing went wrong there.
Just
ask Marsh Bresciano.
Yeah, exactly.
He knows all about that.
And it's just as good as our current owners. So yeah, that's it. I mean, we need to wrap this up.
They don't have mud volcanoes as well, which is always a positive.
But we need to wrap this up.
Last comment on the crowd: 9,387 people there. I did notice at one point we'd scored 2 goals. We were right back in the game. We made our first pass backwards in about 20 minutes, and they booed. So, Brisbane Roar fans, can you please stop? Okay, one pass back every 20 minutes after scoring 2 goals. That's doubling
standards.
We've become a bitter supporter group, haven't we? We had the good times, and we're clearly not ready to let it go.
We don't know how to handle going on that downward slope. No, we've been on that downward slope for a few years now.
Can we save our booze for when our players get yellow cards before they come on?
Yeah.
This is where I think the Newcastle fans do well. They had their high moment early on, and they've trickled down in that lower end and just still been good. They've been good fan base for a while now, and they've had their good season, and they're back to being rubbish. So, you know, they've been able to handle it. They've got a bit of perspective on life.
Yeah.
We need to learn from
living in Newcastle will give you perspective on life.
That's right.
Anyway,
Santa Link is burning down.
That does leave us on the table. 5 played, 1-1, a drawn 2, lost 2, 5 goals, 4-6 again. Yeah. So that's evened up nicely a little bit there. Points 5 on the board, and we've risen to the heady heights of 7th.
That one, incredible. How long has it been since we were 7th or higher?
I feel like
last year we were 8th, wasn't it?
Somewhere in the 6th.
And we made the finals the year before that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Little while.
It is one of those ones where, I mean, we've probably been pretty lucky that, to be honest, there's a bunch of clubs who are struggling, like Perth have really struggled early, Melbourne Victory have struggled early, Newcastle aren't going
great. Victory's struggling this week. Mm. Ended up, we were 8th, and then Victory lost straight after us, and that bumped us up on goal difference.
On to 7th.
So, sweet. Nice.
Yeah. So, it wasn't looking so healthy when we were losing early on. They had one of those live tables, and City look like they're running away with things already. But, you know, we've been able to peg them back for the league.
There's a lot of mind the gap jokes that they were going banging on about on Twitter, and I think we've bridged the gap a little bit.
We've bridged the gap, yeah. We've
bridged the gap.
And at least the Robbie Out crowd will be down for a couple of weeks. Maybe 1 week. Coming up next, it is Wellington Phoenix versus the Brisbane Roar.
When we lose this game, Robbie Outcraft will be right back there.
Oh, yeah, they will. I was actually almost going to make a joke about that.
Sorry, I stole your thunder.
Westpac Stadium over there in Wellington. Saturday afternoon on the 23rd of November, 4 p.m. It'll be the ABC game.
It will.
As well. So it's currently the Knicks have played 5, haven't had a win yet, just the 1 draw. 4 loss, 5 goals, 4-9 against, 1 point on the board. But they've been all right, Dave, the Knicks.
They haven't been terrible. They've just off the pace in each game. Contest, like, with a chance for each game, but just at the crucial moments, not having that little moment of finishing, not being able to, you know, hold a team out. Just not quite there. They will be dangerous at home. So I don't think they've had a whole lot of games at home. I think they're like Brisbane.
One, I think.
Not sure.
I'm sure there's probably some sort of app that we could probably look at to find out. But
they played West United at home round one.
Yeah,
they might not have.
They would have had no one.
I mean, they had 2 weeks in a row in Melbourne. So yeah, you could be right.
I'm sure they probably had two, but I've got a feeling that they'll probably see this as a chance for them to, especially off the back of. There you go. They've had the bye.
Yeah.
And before that was when they drew with Melbourne Victory away. So they'll be coming into it with a bit of confidence.
Yeah.
Refreshed and feeling like Brisbane, who, you know, potentially got weak links, might be a chance for them to pick up their first win. So I think we do have to be wary heading in against Wellington Phoenix.
And Wellington haven't.
Their spot on the ladder doesn't dictate how they've been going.
And they came together late for mine. They're still signing players while the season was just about to start, so a few weeks to get up to speed. The bye will probably help them a little bit.
Yeah, so I mean, David Ball, you know, obviously quality player, and another, and, you know, 2 extra weeks.
Fitness. We should let him take penalties for Wellington.
Yeah. Is he good on the ball?
Anyone that remembers the FFA Cup game down at Strikers will appreciate it.
Yeah. And Davila, the Mexican out in the wing here, he is class and quality.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, and so it'll be interesting. Obviously, a couple of their players offered, I think, who was it? Was it one of their players? Yeah, Karache scored an absolute cracker of a free kick in wherever he's from. I don't think he's New Zealand.
Not Kakache.
Kakache, isn't he?
He's Kiwi.
Kiwi, I thought. Yeah, one of their players.
He's one of the young fellas.
Oh, maybe it was an under-23s game or something. So he scored an absolute cracking free kick.
Yeah. He's good. He's really good. He could go on international duty because he got a suspension from Wellington. So no mixed emotions there. He just went to play for his country instead.
Maybe it's him. Anyway,
yeah. Scopo, yeah, might be it.
But I wonder. Anyway, we've talked way too much and we need a.
Well, I was going to say, this game will be the battle of the Kiwi internationals. In goals,
yeah,
Radovich versus Crocombe.
What about Glenn Jamie Young?
Yeah, sure, why not? I'm sure he can do something too, but
yeah,
this game has those players, all right? So shut up, don't steal my thing. That was my
you stole my thing before.
That's my note, yeah, right, whatever.
All right, look, that'll be Saturday afternoon.
Get control of this fucking show,
bro. If you're going over, I know Tegan Walsh posted up a bit of a pub crawl, sort of, doing it with some of the Wellington fans. So,
Zach King's also doing it. Yeah, will be doing it as well.
So yeah, there are, if you are a fan heading over, there is something you can probably find out there. So, if you're not sure where to look or what we're talking about, just hit us up on one of our social medias.
Yeah, just say, what the fuck are you on about here?
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll be like,
we can help you out. And they're good fans over there, and it should be an interesting game. And
it's good, if you are going over, over there, you will absolutely have a ball, because the Knicks fans are top quality.
And let us hope that we don't go from beating the top team to losing to the bottom team.
It would not be the first time.
No, it definitely wouldn't.
Probably not the last time.
That'll do us for this one. Let's go for a quick break, and we'll hear some special messages and come back.
Max Crocombe is a bad goalkeeper. He cannot save with his hands. He can only save with his feet, unless it's straight at him, in which case he saves with his body, not with his hands. Not a good attribute in a goalkeeper. Is Courtney Perkins our best defender? Because all evidence points to yes.
Welcome back. Thank you, Benjamin. Good to hear your voice. It's been a little while. Doesn't sound like he's had too much trouble in prison, which is great to hear.
Sounded like he was running from somebody.
It did. It did. So maybe he'll actually be able to get on the show and because he's escaped.
Yeah, from maybe. Watch it. I doubt it. I think Buckle was just chasing him again.
Yeah, well.
What were your thoughts on his points, Crocombe and Connie Perkins?
Well, I think Crocombe was lucky to make that save with his foot. He looked surprised that he even made the save. But he did make one good save. And
Dan, what are your thoughts on Courtney Perkins then?
Clearly, he's their best defender. It's just
sell him for a couple of $1 million? Excellent.
How old is he?
17.
Oh, so I got a story about this. I went to the grocery store that morning in my raw gear, and just one of the Woolies.
Courtney Perkins slide tackled you. That's how good a defender he is.
One of the Woolies servers there was just noticed I had my shirt on. He asked me if I like the raw and if I'm watching the game and that. And he started going on about this great young kid that they have, and his name's Courtney Perkins, and going like, he's going to get a run today, you watch. And I realized it's probably one of his schoolmates. And I was like, oh yeah, cool man, cool. Like,
yeah, the inside word.
And hey, look, he got on and he did well. So there's at least one school kid out there that thinks Courtney Perkins is our best defender.
Excellent. Well, Ben and that one kid in sync.
Well, worth Ashgrove, Ben, if you need a friend.
Should we sell Aldred now or later?
I think we're just dropping, just cut his contract.
We should sell O'Donovan now because this might be, this might be the peak.
We need to sell him before the peak O'Donovan moment.
I did say jokingly before the game that if he scores a hat trick, we have to call him Roy O'Dolphin from now on. And then he did, and now I'm regretting it.
Well, Roy O'Dolphin is a good player. Not jokingly, one person who will be listening to this podcast said they were going to throw a party when he scored a hat trick on the pretense that she probably didn't think he was going to score a hat trick. And he scored a hat trick.
Still waiting for that invite.
Well, this is true. Let's move on. The W League. Oh. Sorry, as I just kick a dog. It's all right. It's come already back to start licking me.
Title of the show. Sorry, as I kick a dog.
No, it's the title of the show is Brisbane Roar Bus Company.
I thought it was a tale of two halves.
Yeah, game of two halves is the name of the show. For sure.
W League, they'll have two halves of football as well, and it'll probably be a game there this Thursday night, which will be just out before.
that was just a terrible turn of phrase.
Fair enough. The W League is back. We did preview it a lot last week. We did. So not a lot, too much has changed.
We spoke about the potential formation of having two sixes.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen
first. It's going to happen this week either, Dave, because what's the problem with that happening?
Well, you see, my primary news source for all things W League, having been paying attention on Channel 10, revealed that KK is currently injured and won't be playing.
Which makes sense, because she didn't play for the Matildas either.
No, but I didn't know she was injured. I just assumed she was just rested.
Yeah.
But yeah, injured at the moment, so she won't be playing. But so we do play Melbourne Victory on Thursday night up at Dolphin Stadium. And if any of the players want to change
their surname... Fortress Dolphin Stadium.
Yeah. If any of the players want to change their surname to O'Donovan, they're more than welcome to do so on the pretense they can score a hat-trick, obviously.
Wouldn't be the first time one of our players has changed her surname.
This is true.
This would be a bit of a different one.
Yeah.
That's because no one knew how to say his name. So he's like, I'll just say it to the player and calls me anyway.
But yeah, up against Melbourne Victory, who had a loss in the Big Blue, 3-0, I believe, on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon.
So they've got a short turnaround as well, Victory, having to travel north after playing away against Sydney as well. So two away games for Victory against realistically some title contenders.
Yeah, and they immediately fly out to that tournament that we talked about over in Korea with the three other Eastern Asian champions, the Chinese champion, Korean champion, and Japanese champion. So they've got three games in 6 days or something like that.
It's something ridiculous.
So
they're going to be busy. But I think they have the bye next week as a result. So they've basically got the biggest lead time time as they can to have that tournament. What do you guys think in terms of this game? They are still the premiers of the W League.
They don't look quite as strong this season. So it'll be interesting to see.
They have the newest inductee of the Brisbane Roar to Melbourne Victory Club.
And she'll actually get her debut this week, as actually I don't think she played on the weekends. So she'll be there.
That's probably a big reason.
Whether Alloway, who got married and has changed her name, and I can't remember what she's changed to, Brock, I think. Whether she's playing, she has been injured, so I don't know whether she'll be back or whether maybe they just save her for the tournament. So it'll be interesting to see if she plays. But obviously, if that pairing gets together, and that's a really rock solid defensive pairing, they've got a good goalkeeper as well and a bit of talent out wide. So
look, Casey Dumont in the goals. So another former role player.
And the right back should be what's her name? Bloody hell, she's it.
We're 100% doing another class 11 with just Melbourne Victory players. So I think we did a Melbourne one before, but it's only A-League players. We're going to cast the net a bit wider. I'll get onto that one later.
There is a Melbourne Victory, the one on the right back, left back. Those that fly the W, know exactly what I'm talking about. I just cannot think of their name to save myself. Who is, so that's another former Brisbane Roar to Melbourne Victory player as well. But we've had the week off, an extra week to prepare, which is obviously good because the Matildas, some of them were out, gives them extra time to come back into the squad and get ready, and start to actually get these links happening. So it will be really interesting to see how we line up. It'd be good to have, we haven't had Gori, because we effectively didn't have her at all last season, so it'd be great to have her back in there. Obviously, the players have signed as well.
What are your thoughts on the kickoff time? Thursday night, they're going to have the Thursday night games, but you'd seriously wonder why they don't make an allowance for times and have this game kick off at even 7.
Yeah,
even 7. Just
it was always
that.
It was always the constant argument, and we're gonna have the same thing when the A League kicks off, because that 6:50 kickoff time slot was a bit of a compromise for Brisbane. 7:50, but then everyone down south complained that was too late. So yeah, look, it's pretty early to get out there on a Thursday night from anywhere. Unless you're
basically leaving at 5:00 if you're going from the city.
Yeah, you really
are. And for individuals such as myself, if I was to go to this game, I'd work till 5:30.
Yeah, you would actually.
There's going to be a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of people in that same boat as well.
Even I haven't actually thought that much about it, and you're right. I will probably struggle a little bit unless I leave work a bit early to get out there. And yeah, so that could impact the crowd. Look, I think there's enough support, obviously, up in the north side for our W League team that there'll be enough support.
Still be a crowd there. And the Royal Club will be there in full voice, no doubt. They'll, in fact, probably take the day off, say, bugger it, we're going to get on the piss and go out and watch the football.
Yeah.
Good on them.
Get them ready, get all their banners ready. I'm sure they might have a new banner or two as well for our new signing.
So yeah, that'd be cool.
They always have some really cool designs, the Raw Core. So, yeah, look, in theory, we should win. Our team is strong. We're strong, we're challenging. Melbourne Victory might be more focused, have one eye on this tournament coming up.
Probably the thing from the two teams is that Brisbane's midfield to attack is super strong with, not question marks, but a slightly weaker back line than what we had last year.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
It's not a theory when we've lost essentially a Matildas level centre defender.
Yeah. Obviously regained by Melbourne Victory, who you would have to say have a stronger back line than our back line, but maybe not the attacking weapons that we have. So it'll be an interesting balance. I can certainly see this game being a 3-1, 2-1 sort of scoreline. Brisbane theoretically winning that one. But potentially us conceding a goal at some stage as well. So we'll see how that one turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sure it'll be a great crowd out there, a good 3,000-4,000 out there, even with that kickoff time on that Thursday night. So
Dolphin Stadium, even if we thought they were a little bit underprepared for so many people at the A-League game, they'll only get better at catering for that number of people through the gates.
You hope so, but they've been a bit rubbish for the previous FFA Cup games.
3,000 to 4,000 people is probably a good number for what they're used to. And it's just them getting used to maybe having those larger crowds. I think the next two games, now that they've got a full capacity game under their belt, they'll learn from that and they'll hopefully improve that for the next two, which are still a while away yet.
And showing that 10,000 people will show up to an A-League game incentivizes them to put a little bit in and maybe get a few extra staff or an extra vendor or two.
That's what you think. Yeah, get some food trucks in or something. Help take the pressure off your own little canteens and stuff.
Because it's very much suburban canteen. Mm. Size for 10,000 seat capacity
venue. Even maybe just like buying more fryers and heaters, to work in there. Yeah, and make, yeah,
that's what they've already got. Speeding up the system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's going back to the Dolphin Stadium experience and Price's review from earlier on.
Yeah, absolutely. First hand experience as well. So yeah, that is on a Thursday night. So get around that. That should be a good, exciting stuff. That will be on Fox Football as well, KO and all of them as well. So that's the Thursday night football game, of course. So get around that. The Y League kicked off over the weekend.
Pricey, it's coming home, mate.
It's coming home. Look, things are looking great for Melbourne Victory team circa 2022 with a great 7-0 win for the Brisbane Roar Academy over Melbourne Victory.
Look, it's very encouraging for Melbourne Victory's first team for future years as well.
Yeah.
As we all know, that's where half these players will end up.
Yeah.
7-0. What a shellacking. Yeah. And Victory were not good last year. They were the worst team in our division. And if that's any sort of indication, they'll probably be the worst team again this year.
Yeah. And that's it. In the Y League, you have to go and smash the rubbish team. So anyway, it was Kai Topaldo.
It has come back to goal difference before, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So it has Kai Topaldo in the 32nd minute, Mirza Muratovic in the 36th, 80th and 84th minutes,
Patrick
Aaron Reardon in the 41st minute, Eli Adams in the 70th minute, and Gigan Jelovic in the 90th minute, a lovely curling free kick as well. So
yeah, Eli Adams' goal, little kind of solo run.
Nice. Yeah, that was a nice slalom run, wasn't it?
Very nice.
You thought he had a rubbish touch at first, and then he regathered it and slalom through half their team.
Yeah,
I actually was really impressed by the first goal. I guess that's Kai getting one off his head. Yep. Nice little cross in.
It was that was it. It was the cross. I don't know who to put the cross in, but it was a wicked cross in.
I mean, we saw the
bullet header
in the A-League, the second goal for City where he cut across the defender and headed one in. This was
very similar.
Don't want to compare him to J-Mac just yet, but it was a good effort.
Kai Topaldo, the new J-Mac. You've heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, great goals there across the side. And good to see Aaron Reardon getting a run as well. We can expect him to probably be fringe.
Mm.
He's in the A-League squad, obviously, but very much fringe there. So he'll benefit from the run-out. Obviously Jack Hingett will likely play some games in this league as well as he comes back to full fitness, so we likely see him getting a bit of game time there. Matthew Bozanowski for Melbourne Victory did get a red card.
Yep.
I didn't put down Melbourne Victory on here, but it is a Melbourne Victory player.
Yep.
I don't know what for, but it showed up on the Y League website as a straight red, so I'm assuming it must have been last man.
I think led then to the free kick that got scored right on the edge box.
So, at the point you're 6-0 down in the last minute, to get yourself sounds a bit silly. You'd probably just trust your keeper to try and do his best, and if it's 7-0, it's 7-0.
We saw some of the efforts from the... We saw some of his efforts saving before. Maybe that's why I didn't trust his goalkeeper, but...
Yeah, he's
having a tough time.
Exactly. Now he missed another game, and that's... When the season's only 10 games long, that's pretty stupid. Apparently 180 people out there, but that's only ever a guesstimate when it comes to the Y League.
No. They counted tickets.
Yeah. Were you out there, Dave? Did you know?
No. Too fucking hot.
Yeah, way too hot.
180 people that were sweltering in the Ipswich sun.
Yeah, Ipswich sun. Don't have down when they next play the Y League.
They've got a bye.
They got the bye.
They've got the bye. Yeah,
straight into the bye. So just on the A League team.
Just like the A League team. One game bye.
Bye. Yep. Excellent. Also scoring a goal after the 95th minute. The difference is they scored six before that minute.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Exactly.
That's how we roll. We score goals late and then have a rest.
Yeah. Aw, does that mean we're going to get thrashed by Wellington?
Probably.
I guess we didn't score off the 90th, so that's just how it is. So that covers off those ones. So obviously, much more about the W League next week as we have an actual game to review as well. So we'll get into them. Bit of news getting around as
you want to prepare for the next segment.
Yeah, the next segment.
I just realised I hadn't done that.
Yeah, I'll get up Twitter for that one, Dave, as well. Just while we're doing that. So news. Now this is an interesting one. When you brought up before, Dan, about the Ola Roos players banned from international football. So Wales, Atkinson, and there was a third as well.
It's the Perth guy. Ben Warland?
That sounds about right. He used to be Adelaide, I think, actually. Wales, Atkinson, Warland, and McGree all got in trouble. So, so some Melbourne City and Adelaide players getting in trouble over in Myanmar at the previous Oli Roos sort of tournament, and they were stood down from this one. I think they've been doing a bit of an investigation in it. As it's turned out, though, they were actually completely banned from playing in this thing. They were let go, which meant they could play in the local league, which seems like a bit of a Interesting one. But
it's an interesting punishment.
Yeah, interesting punishment. Go still get to play for your A-League club. And
Ryan McGree, go earn that golden boot.
Yeah, exactly. So as it turned out, we ended up, obviously Wales played against us, Atkinson played against us as well. So we copped two of them. Didn't make a single difference. So, well, we lost one. And yet, as we look through... what should I say is their punishments have now been handed down. Wales, Atkinson and Warland are out until August and are actually ruled out completely from Tokyo, because Tokyo is May, I think, next year.
Yep.
So they're completely gone. And McGree, if we make the Olympics, will be allowed to play in the national teams. I think this is all national team setup, right?
His ban is till the 1st of April. McGree's...
What a joke.
Yeah, there's no...
1st of April. Oh, yeah. Come on, man. That was better than you gave it credit for. April 1st? There's someone out there listening to this joke right now and laughing their ass off.
You gave me nothing. You gave me donuts for my bus jokes. You gave me absolute donuts. So I'm not responding with that.
So, what a joke. Yeah, they didn't release a lot of detail. I don't think we probably want to get too deep into that rabbit hole, but...
I guess it's safe to assume that something not nice has happened, and obviously those three boys were more involved than McGree. It's something a bit unsavory, and there's probably a good reason why it's not getting released out there. So, but it just does create this weird situation where, it's international football versus club football. While we don't have international breaks, it really causes dramas in the A-League, especially when the Oli Roos are on, because they just take more players out. Yep. So.
And it popped up more on Brisbane's radar because of the Robbie Fowler press conference where he spoke of Aidan O'Neill and saying probably wishes he could take it back now that the news has come out. But at the time he said, well, maybe I should tell my boy to play up too so that he's available in the future.
Probably. Yeah, that was maybe a missed.
That did not age very well.
No. Yeah, I couldn't imagine he'd want O'Neill to be banned from playing for... Yeah. So anyway, that's how that went. So that's really the only piece of news that's been floating around this week. Just a little peek A-League while we sort of move on through. Just a sort of... Probably wasn't too much happening in the games on the weekend. But one funny one that sort of has popped up is Newcastle are having their second bye already within seven rounds. And it's before all three of the Melbourne clubs have their first bye of the season. Which, just classic peak A-League scheduling, to be honest. So now Newcastle are going to be... Like, they're having a bit of a tough start to the season. And when you look at the ladder, and you start to look at the ladder, and you're like, you're behind because you've had more buys. And sometimes that works. You're like, it can be like, oh, two wins, 6 points.
There's the old saying, it's better to have the points on the board than have to play a catch-up. My English team, Wycombe Wanderers, is that same go at the moment. They're top of the league, but they're two games ahead of the team second and 3 points ahead. I'd rather be in that spot, though, than have to be playing a catch-up. So Newcastle's going to be playing catch-up all season.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the way it's going to be now. So this is why buyers suck.
Yes, and it's how can they not even this up? And it always confuses me how we don't have a much more even draw, like just spread across the season. And there's been patches where we've always played like three times in 10 weeks, and just weird stuff like that. It's
they clearly do the draw in a backwards sense. Like Newcastle weren't one of the top six last year, and they've back ended it to accommodate a bit of the ACL when those teams playing in January, Feb. So they sort of back end it, and some of the teams, probably Roar included, you get what you're given because you didn't perform last year. So it's unfortunate, but
anyway, that's just one of those weird ones. Yeah. So we'll see if that PK leaks in a moment, makes it the end of the season. So we are just collating things as we go in a bit of a document, and it will keep going with that. So I don't think there's too much more.
I don't have a peak Archie League moment for once.
No,
I think he only covered a couple of games on Saturday.
Was he having a bye?
He did. he had an argument with Daniel Georgievsky, who they got into the studio, but they had a bit of polite banter, and Georgievsky basically rattled off his Archie League moments of the season to give him a bit of stick. And Archie's response was, "I like your shirt," in an accusatory way.
He could have said something like, "Wow, want to catch the team bus next time?" Or
exactly, there's so much to work with there.
Right? But it was pretty timid. So.
Anyway, so let's move on to a good bit of good, bad, ugly, and there was plenty of them.
Heaps.
On the Facebook related social medias,
and
I've learned bagels on Twitter.
I have learned that posting these things 30 minutes after full time works a lot better in engagement than a day later
after a win as
after
well.
We'll go straight to our Facebook page. Tom Walter, good. We scored 4 goals and finally had a win. Bad. We conceded 3, including 2 headers from J-Max. Seem to recall he scored about the same number in 2 seasons for us. It's true. Yeah, good call. All the non-Brisbane Nuffies saying the Roar should permanently relocate the Dolphins. Don't get me wrong, love the game being at Redcliffe, but too small and too far away to be our permanent home. I 100,000% agree with that.
It is too small.
It is too small. Yeah, and it is too far away from Brisbane.
You need at least 15,000.
Giuseppe Manuel Brescia. Good. The football and character shown in the second half. Bad. Everything about the first half. don't hold back there at all, Giuseppe. Ugly. The ref didn't have a clue. Random decisions on fouls. Bookings. Obvious penalty denied after checking with VAR. Well, we've already gone through the penalty. Then how we assess them. I agree.
I feel like we've upset one of our listeners now by having a contrasting opinion.
That's okay. That's what football's about, having different opinions.
Having the VAR to solve them.
The Raw Facebook page, which is always a bastion of all good things, had a lot more comments. Patrick Lindsay, good hat trick, bad, conceded a hat trick, ugly playing at Redcliffe. And
Patrick is someone that lives very close to Suncorp Stadium.
He is. There was another one. There was actually a few really good ones on here, and I just want to find the one really quickly because it summed up everything so nicely.
And of course, it's nested in another comment just to make it tricky for you, Dave.
No, it's not. It's just not loading everything up properly, which fucking sucks. I'll pull this one out because it's the first one's loading up. Amy Waygood. Good stadium pitch and 400% increase on our goal scoring.
That is a very good way of looking at this.
Yeah,
positive.
100% increase in number of scorers as well. Yeah.
Bad. Long balls in the first half into the wind. Like, who would do that?
Yeah.
And ugly blue-eyed ref. I don't know why the eye colour of the referee... Oh, no, that's right. It's my city.
It's funny because it they played... Worked. They didn't play in blue, did they?
No, they played white.
The wide-eyed ref.
I thought Alex King is a good-looking bloke, actually. He's looking right. I think he's doing a Movember moustache, though.
That's what that was.
Well, yeah. Speaking of, we're all doing all right. Not necessarily Movember, but... I just noticed we're all rocking a bit of something.
Yeah. Mine's pure laziness, to be fair.
Mine was a lot longer a couple of weeks ago.
I wish
mine's a mo weekend, yeah. To be honest. But
I wish mine was as noble as doing it for a cause, but I'm just lazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the good bit. Look, there are a lot more, and obviously we can't go through them all because there's just so many of them there this week. So thank you very much for everyone that's getting involved. Keep doing that. We'll put them up each week, of course, so you guys can all have your say, and we'll pull out our favourite ones from there. I'll be a bit more prepared this week so I can... Maybe have them printed on something so I don't have to go searching for them randomly.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is, if you do want to catch us on the social, that is at The Rawcast on Twitter. We post that up. Or facebook.com/TheRawcast is where we put those ones up. Of course, if you wanted to actually leave us a message as well, you could jump on Anchor. So anchor.fm/TheRawcast, just like Scotty McCormack did for last week's show. And you'd be able to put it in. And we'll definitely... listen to you then and play it on the show if you send us a message with you reading out your good, bad, ugly. So there's a hint if you're really disappointed.
And we'll read it out on the show.
Sort of, what we're doing?
Okay.
Well, no, not really.
We need a new jingle for Anchor recordings.
Yeah, absolutely. So I reckon it's probably about time for...
Yeah, we have an opposition nuffies.
Oh, you had a good one.
No, Dave's been hanging out for this.
There's two. Right, there's two. Right. First of all, and I'll leave this out there for people listening. Anyone that... still has the Brisbane, so the Den's old Facebook page. Have a read of that.
Nice to see they're posting for the first time for the season.
It's your first time in, was it 10 months?
The one
I'm going to pick out. It's actually not even a Melbourne City Nuffy. It's actually a Sydney FC Nuffy, and I'm sure if you've been on Twitter, anyone's on Twitter probably is aware of this. But Sydney FC put up a little tweet and said, "Hey, Big Blue's back. Enjoy the atmosphere for fucking $25 by sitting on the hill." This guy's come along. Sit on the hill like a primitive peasant? No thanks. Call me back when you have a civilized stadium and I will be reinstating my 14-year platinum membership. Now,
wow.
Yeah, hang on, it gets better. Sydney FC respond. Hi, Marius. That's a guy's name. Hi, Marius. Platinum members have a seat in the grandstand. ... To Marius' response... And you had two responses here, but I'll start with the first one. And the rest of the peasants that can sit in the weather, right? Mate, whoever you are, I'll let you in a little secret, buddy. Mate, the shit football has dished out is not worth $1,100 that you so rudely expect me to pay for two people to watch at a less than pro venue. So I downgraded last year to bronze, and you rudely enough expected to pay an extra $20 per game to sit under cover. So don't come back with me with your arrogant, not arrogant, he spelled it wrong. And smart ass reply, don't expect me to pay premium price for water expecting me to believe it's beer. Marius, you are a bell end.
And double down on it.
Yeah. Yes. So, yes, Marius.
Many people love that.
You win, mate. And I think that's one of the contenders of the year, to be fair.
Yeah, that is
so good.
He will be up there. Yeah, I know the A-League meme's got around that.
Oh, yeah. Special mention to Simon Hill putting South Melbourne Mike in his place as well. You're not familiar with Twitter. No. There's an enjoyable chat who's a South Melbourne supporter that... not a big fan of the A-League.
Likes to call it Frank Lowy's A-League cartel.
And Simon Hill put him in his place quite nicely. It was fantastic to see.
I think I need Twitter just for Simon Hill.
Oh, you need Twitter just for soccer, Twitter, mate. You don't even have to post. Just sit back and enjoy the ride, mate.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
All right.
That will about do us for that. Let's move on to a bit of Going for Orange.
O-R-A-N-G-E. That spells orange easy as can be. O-R-A-N-G-E. That spells orange most definitely.
Alright, so we're back ready to go. This is round 6, so quick scoreboard check. The others that we've had so far, in this case Nate and Dan, you're on nil. But you got your chance to get on the board.
Yay.
Come equal second, because Ben and Pricey, you're both on 1 point.
Oh, by the way, Ben's here, peoples.
Oh yeah, Ben is here.
Hello.
Good podcast etiquette, that.
Yeah.
Nice, well done, Ben.
Ben's been here the whole time. It's just been an hour of podcast etiquette. Yeah.
Honestly, though, you know, this is a podcast of two halves. You know, it's the half without me and then the very short half with me.
That is definitely our half work.
Yeah. And I'm on 3 points. So I've got a bit of a lead, and even if I don't get this one, I'm still ahead. So in your faces. Ben can't see me giving the forks.
Yeah.
But Pricey, it's up to you today.
It is my turn. Yeah. It is my turn.
So
I think I've got an interesting one here, and let's see how we go.
Brian Dean.
Incorrect.
Okay.
I was born on July 16, 1985.
Lee Broxham.
No.
Enrique.
No.
Alex Bross.
No. I was born in Windsor, England.
Windsor. In England, you say?
England. Yes, born in England. A football player born in England. Now where?
Probably Donovan. No, that's not him. He's Irish.
Good call. You've got this. I pass.
Pass. Ben? No.
Nah.
In my early career, I trials was Shrewsbury Town and Walsall, but neither landed me contracts.
That clue sounds like a cop out. No one gave me a job for a while before I got one.
It's like me saying, I applied for jobs at this company, but I didn't get anything.
I was born in 1986. Manchester United didn't pick me up. Who am I, Dan? I pass. I have no idea.
Ben?
No. John Curtis.
John Curtis, no. I took a 5-year sabbatical in my early career, eventually moving to Cairns before restarting my career down under.
Jacob Timpano.
No.
I mean, it's not Darren Dahl, but I just wanted to mention Darren Dahl.
Darren Dahl should always get a mention.
Absolutely should.
Yeah, I pass, let's go.
I played for Fraser Park and Sydney Olympic before getting my start in the A-League, winning the 2010 New South Wales Super League Player of the Year award.
Chris Grossman.
No. I think Grossman's on the books.
No idea.
I have played in Malaysia, New Zealand, Australia, and the USA.
Alex Smith?
Yes, it is Alex Smith.
Whoa.
Well done. I was trying to hide that USA clue for as long as possible, as I thought that might be the killer one. I have signed for two different...
Yes.
Yeah. I have signed for two different A-League clubs, making 40 appearances for one goal, but my time was cut short as I was considered a visa player. And that's important because he actually only ever played for one, which was Wellington. My early career saw me play... He was on the books at Gold Coast for a bit.
Yep.
My early career saw me play for FC Dallas in the MLS and Dallas Fort Worth and Tornadoes in the USA Lower Leagues.
A tornado.
So that was before the 5-year sabbatical, before he went to Cairns and found himself. After my A-League days, I returned to the NPL in Queensland, captain newcomers FNQ Heat, banging in the goals. 33 goals in 41. games.
Not bad.
In the NPL Queensland for a top two finish and semi-final defeat, and of course qualifying the FFA Cup multiple times. He has a great scoring record in the FFA Cup. It's like he has more goals than games in the FFA Cup if he's qualifying.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And then obviously more recently I've been playing for Olympic FC in the NPL Queensland, continuing my goal scoring of 27 in 38 games, earning player of the season, earning player of the year this last season, despite doing his ACL and ending his career. So he has actually called quits on his career. So, Alex Smith.
So this is a bit of a send-off.
Yeah.
Going for Orange.
A little bit. So one of the few USA players.
Good pick.
Yeah.
Really good.
Let's...
That's not a name that I had thought of. When you said Cairns, I was like, ooh, Fury players.
Yeah, that's where I went to. I went straight to Fury players. But
so it was a bit of a misdirection.
That's where my Chris Crossman name came in.
Yeah, I was trying for a few misdirections in there.
Shrewsbury had me.
Had you at Shrewsbury.
I don't like that. I tried at clubs and didn't get a job.
I really probably could have robbed those first two clues into one, to be honest, in the end. But you got what you got.
You built the tension perfectly. It was beautiful.
The one he did miss is I sent a resume to Liverpool.
And they didn't Robbie call Fowler rejected me, and now I'm making my revenge by becoming his assistant manager.
Let's get on to the tipping. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we had a lot better scoring this week, but by virtue of having 8 games instead of 5.
That does hopefully help things.
Tends to help a little bit.
Didn't particularly help one certain group of people.
Well, no, the listeners sucked. Sorry, guys. You were terrible this week. You got 2.
That's what you get for supporting Brisbane. Oh.
Wait, that was the one that
helped, yeah, you guys tipped Brisbane.
Imagine if they didn't have faith in Brisbane. Oof.
Yeah, like most of us.
Yeah.
Myself, I didn't do Crash Otter. I can't really talk. I got 3, as did Yoshiba. Ben, yourself, and Dan tipped 4.
Yeah.
So you're halfway there. And Pricey and Rick, a little bit better than half. You got 5 apiece. So, the score charts as we stand. Yoshiba in 7th with 9 points after 6 rounds. Good classic Yoshiba averages there. Again, I'm not much better. I'm 11 off 6 rounds.
Creeping away from Yoshiba though, mate.
I maintained my pace this week. Ben and the listeners, you're on 13. Pricey, you're on 14. Rick is on 16, and Dan is still leading the pack on 17. So I'm starting to regret inviting Rick and Dan into this competition.
I am too at the moment. Can we bring back Adam? Him and all his draws were great.
Yeah, how many draws have we had this year? Not that many.
Not many, so Adam will be doing terrible.
So we get into this round. There aren't a full...
And listeners, you've got to do better. Listeners, you've got to do better than me. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty low bar to beat.
At the moment, you're level, yeah. So... In fairness, Ben, you caught up to the listeners this week. You were 2 behind your level now, so. There is a full complement of games this week, though. 9 in total. We'll start going through the A-League before we getting into the main event, which is the W-League, of course. Yeah. Start off on Friday night in Western Sydney versus Melbourne City. The Yoshiba. We haven't got any tips from Rick. Rick has been poor.
He's decided he got too far ahead.
I think he's got a hot day tonight. Got a hot day.
Red hot day tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe he can get his tip from his hot day.
Maybe.
Yoshiba has tipped the draw. Dan, did you want me to read out yours or because you gave him...
I've got to be on City for that, right?
You are on City for that one.
I forget what I said this morning.
Just go pull them up so you can read them out for yourself.
I'm going to go with Wanderers for that one.
Western Sydney Wanderers for Ben. I'm inclined to go for the draw for this one. Pricey?
City for me, please.
I think that's close enough to the top of the table clash, that one.
It's either 1v3 or 1v2. I think Sydney might have jumped Wanderers.
Sydney might have gone for the second year. The Knucks hosting Brisbane, as we spoke about earlier. Of course, Ben will be well aware of all of our thoughts on that part of the show because he has just been listening, as we said beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brisbane being backed by Yoshiba. Dan.
Wellington.
Draw.
Wait your turn. Sorry. Podcast etiquette. Come on, mate.
Ben. My name is Ben, not Dan, mate.
Ben, can I have your tip, please?
Get a more different name. Draw.
I'm waiting for Butts. Come on, team.
Yeah, sorry. I should be referring to you as Butts instead of Dan. And that way, it would definitely be less confusing with two people starting with B as their name. I'm going to back Brisbane. I don't know why. Pricey.
Draw, please.
Adelaide versus Melbourne Victory, the original rivalry. as it is to be known, apparently. Adelaide being backed by Yoshiba. I will also be backing Adelaide. Pricey?
Adelaide for me, please.
Ben?
Adelaide for me, please.
And Dan?
I'm going with the team managed by Marco Kurtz. I mean, the team formerly managed by Kurtz in Radelaide.
So you're going for a draw?
No. Adelaide, please.
Adelaide, yeah. So Adelaide across the board there. Rick may change it up a little bit. And the listeners, you guys might do as well. We'll see what happens. Perth hosting Sydney. Draw for Yoshiba. Pricey.
Sydney.
Ben.
I'm going to go against the grain and go Perth here.
The Butts man.
I also was going to go against the grain, but Ben beat me to it. I'm on Perth.
I'm inclined to go with Sydney on this one. And Central Coast is hosting Western United. We've got Western United for Yoshiba. Ben.
Draw, please.
Dan.
I'm on Central Coast.
Yeah, I'm inclined to go with Western United.
Draw for me, please.
Draw. So a lot of these games are very split down the middle. A lot of different options here. We get into the W League, though. And Brisbane, as we said earlier, hosting Melbourne Victory on Thursday night. I can't believe I just said Thursday night.
Did you do that on purpose? You know what? It's become part of it. Well, no, people have embraced it.
Yeah.
We said it, but now we've embraced it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My opinion on that's become a bit of a game of two halves on its own, hasn't it?
So, yeah, it really has. There's the period where you were against it, and now there's a period where you're a full embracer of it.
I wouldn't say a full embrace, but definitely the tide has turned a little bit. Brisbane being backed by Yoshiba. Dan, we'll start with you.
Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm backing Brisbane.
Brisbane.
And Ben?
I reckon this is going to be a game of two halves where we win both halves.
Brisbane for Ben. Western Sydney Wanderers versus Newcastle. Wanderers being backed by Yoshiba. I agree. Western Sydney Wanderers, Pricey.
Yeah, Western Sydney Wanderers.
Ben.
It's going to be tighter than people think because Newcastle look really good. But I'm going to also say Wanderers.
It'd be like a 2-1 win or something like that. Yeah, like it's not going to be a thrashing, but they should win.
Dan.
Yeah, I sweep with Wanderers.
You sweep or sleep?
It's a sweep. We're all on Wanderers, right?
Who do you sweep for? Who do you sweep for?
Well, that could be taken the really wrong way.
I'll take all that back.
Thanks, Dave.
It's the word itself sounded similar, right? Yeah. Anyway.
They do sweep prison yards. Let's just... Yeah.
Adelaide versus Sydney.
All opinions are of Chad French.
Yep. Thank you, Chad, for taking the blame.
Yeah.
Adelaide hosting Sydney FC. Yoshiba is on Sydney for this one. I am also going to back Sydney for this one. Pricey?
Yeah, Sydney.
Ben?
Yeah, Sydney.
And Dan?
And Sydney.
Canberra.
That one's the Battle of the John Moriarty Foundation sort of graduates with the young Sydney striker, whose name is now just escaping me as I said that.
She scored a couple
of goals over the weekend, and obviously you've got Mary Fowler for Adelaide. So.
Canberra hosting Melbourne City. Yoshiba with City. Pricey?
Draw for me. I'm not rating the City team.
Ben?
Canberra, please.
Dan?
City?
Yeah, I'm going to back City as well.
I think there's a little bit of difference there on that one.
Yeah. As I said, nothing from Rick, but the polls are yet to go up, but we'll get them up by the time the show's on for you guys to have a crack as well. So don't forget to punch in your tips. Get yourself involved, because last week there were a lot of results actually were basically decided by one vote, and you guys failed as a result. So, you know. If you guys have any pride in yourselves, just put your tips in.
You've got something to prove.
Don't get your tip out. Just leave your tip in. Just the tip.
Just the tip. That's all we ever want from you is just the tip. All right.
All nine tips.
That's it. All nine of them. Yep. You got to run through all nine tips. It's a real... I'm going to leave that one. That has been our show.
An orgy of tips is what you're trying to say.
I was trying to think of, like an art where...
I think it's a tip of two halves, isn't it? Tip of two halves.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, yeah, yes yeah. It is. Yep, yep. Anyway, That has been the end of this show. That it has two halves had to have that. I can't speak words because it's getting late.
It's late.
It is late. It has been a show that has had two halves in it. The show, the half that didn't have Ben, and the show that did have Ben. Thank you for joining us, Ben.
Thank you, gents.
And thank you, Mr. Dave Stewart.
No worries, mate.
And Mr. Danny Butts, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. All right, catch you again next week. Thanks for listening.
See ya.